Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 22 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, I want to touch on, we saw Anglo Platinum Kumba results coming out yesterday. They were all down, but we got to look at its first H1 last year, and that was a knockout period. Salim Sunday from Alan Gray, impact on the great resignation on retirement, is it a great regret? And some thoughts from me, Prime is now 9%. Your bond is costing you 1,250 Rand more per month for every million you borrowed. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Durban venture capitalists buy Gumtree SA from eBay-linked company. Puts the country's biggest online classified platform back in the hands of South African owners. And from Business Day, Reserve Bank signals sharper rate hikes ahead as it confronts inflation. That is, that 75-point increase yesterday is the highest increase in 20 years. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1%, NASDAQ up almost 1.5%. In Asia, also green, Sydney up 0.25%, Tokyo up 0.25%. Commodities mostly green overnight, gold, $1,731. Brent a little bit red, $105.26 a barrel, platinum $859, palladium $1,898. Rand, 17 Rand and 4 cents against the dollar. Top 40, we're looking for a 10-point open to the green. Let's call that flat as 10 cent trades down 0.2% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger from Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the early morning. I mentioned in the intro there, we saw updates yesterday, Anglo Platinum and Kumba, both of them talking around production as well, but expecting earnings to take quite a hit. My sense is, I mean, there were some production issues and the like, but we're going to see this from a lot of miners coming forward, simply because the first half of 2021 was a knockout record period for the miners, and they're not going to sustain it. They might have a great first half of this year, but it's not going to be as great as last year.
Absolutely. Good morning, Simon. You hit it on the head there, because the fact is you can only sell what you bring out of the ground at the market rate. And even with Kumba selling their iron ore at a slightly higher rate due to the fact that it's such a high grade of iron ore, still affected very strongly by the downturn in the commodity prices over the last year. I mean, if we look at the commodity prices, which is the main driver really here for these earnings, of course, it's then softened by a bit of a downturn or a weakening, rather, in the rand that we've seen as well. The iron ore price is down over 50% over the last year, and with the platinum group metals down by, you know, give or take 30%, whichever you look at, all these companies have been severely affected by a lower selling price. And then, as you mentioned, in particularly in these two companies that we heard from yesterday, Kumba mentioned that we actually know about this prior to the results, but they had a really, really tough first quarter weather-wise. They were impacted by severe rain in the Northern Cape that was unprecedented. They couldn't produce as much as they wanted. So their production, I think, was down about 14% in the first quarter compared to the previous year. So despite the fact that we had lower prices, we had a weaker rand, which helped slightly, but unfortunately production numbers were down too. And the full year expectations sort of remain in line, but I think the trend, as you say, is mostly driven by a lower commodity price, and that will affect all these miners coming out with their numbers for this year.
And there are lower commodity prices, but iron ore at around $100, palladium at around $1,900, gold $1,700. These are all levels at which the miners are still well profitable.
That is the point. So when we consider it out just a bit longer than this 12 months that we are looking at now, we all knew that the price, with prices coming down, it will affect these companies' earnings for this 12 months. But the reality is that we are sitting with a bit of a shortage when it comes to the commodities globally. If we can look past this current 6 months soft softness in the market demand, especially out of China, where they had severe lockdowns due to COVID restrictions. And that really impacted the demand and made it much lower than we anticipated initially. But looking out a little further, most of these commodities will be in short supply in the coming years, and that will most definitely have an impact on the prices of these commodities going forward. So there is still various opinions out there, but that commodity prices could benefit as the Chinese economy starts to implement all these infrastructure bills that they are talking about to reach their economic goals for the rest of the year. Also in the US, if we look past the inflation problem and we look past the rate hikes, we know that the Americans are planning a big infrastructure spend to boost the economy over a longer period, and that will also benefit the commodity prices. And then, of course, what you and I have spoken about to length is the fact that renewable energy, battery technology, and going into a sustainable economy going forward will also benefit these commodities, as these commodities will be in larger demand due to the fact that batteries mostly need more platinum, more palladium.
Yeah.
And that will mostly benefit the economy then. So these companies is a bit of a longer game, but they have come under pressure. The prices are down. Kumba down by close to 40% over the last year. Anglo Plat down about 60%. So very much in line with what we've seen from the commodity prices if you take the softening in the rand into account as well.
Yeah, and tough short term, but medium to longer term, that story remains. We also saw a Vodacom update yesterday, sort of single digit growth for the quarter across the board. For that's kind of standard for Vodacom. I mean, they're a fairly mature telco in truth.
That's right. You know, they tick forward and they tick on. So, I mean, the big thing is they're still making money. They're still growing their earnings. It's sort of, you know what to expect from Vodacom, and that's really what came out in the results as well for me. And they did also talk about some exciting parts that they're focusing on, you know, fintech. Not much really in terms of bottom line support there, but it's the trend that we see with MTN, and I mean, if we and with other telcos going forward, they really focus on all the value adds. They've got a lot of clients that they can leverage off of various pricing points or various sort of economic ventures in line with what they can offer these numbers and numbers of people that they already support on their networks. And that really leads to exciting opportunities, especially in a continent like Africa, where most people bypass the landline and went straight to mobile phones, and where the growth in mobile phone uptake is still so large. So that's also one of the benefits for Vodacom and both MTN as well that we see in Africa. So all in all, I think a decent set of results, but nothing spectacular, and that's sort of what we've come to expect of these companies over the last couple of years.
Yep, ticking along. And they've got the super app. They've got lots of, as you say, the fintech and the like there. They're never going to shoot the lights out, but you know what? There's a space for that in a portfolio. Mia Kruger, Kruger International, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with us, Salim Sunday, head of group savings at Allan Gray. Salim, appreciate the early morning. The great resignation, which was a story of much of last year, in many cases, you make the point, it's turned into a great regret or perhaps a reality check. One of the issues was, and this is something that we talk about often, people leaving a job and cashing in their retirement savings rather than preserving it. And that really is a great regret. I mean, it you know, from a savings and retirement perspective, it is a bad deal.
Yeah, no, Simon. Good morning, and good morning to you, and good morning to the listeners. Certainly, called from Cape Town this morning and make a good point, Simon, on the Great Resignation. And I think maybe it's worthwhile taking just a step back around the Great Resignation, because I think people kind of using the phrase quite loosely these days. And I think there's kind of a couple of things kind of within that Great Resignation. Firstly, many people have kind of been pushed out into retirement quite early, you know, through the pandemic, realizing kind of quality of life factors. I've got 4 or 5 years to retirement. And then just deciding, so that I'll just take early retirement. I think mentally, emotionally, this has been too much to bear. And we've seen a lot of that. And then obviously the second thing that we've seen people relocating because of the pandemic, right? Saying, look, I'll move and I won't live in a city anymore. And I'll decide to relocate. And some of that relocation could mean changing your work conditions and your work environment. And that could also have an impact in your retirement. And I think the big thing that we've seen is reconsideration. So people that were in senior jobs, executive jobs, suffering burnout, frontline workers, and then all saying, look, I'm going to reconsider my work arrangement. And I don't want a full-time job. I want to work for multiple employers on a project basis or contract basis. And we've seen that in IT. We've seen that in executive jobs. And there's a lot of that. And then you've got people that are saying, look, I want to work, but I don't want to go back into the office full time. I want to be working 3 days from home or 2 days from home or 4 days from home and just rethinking the work arrangements. And I think all of this is kind of encapsulated in the Great Resignation phrase, you know? So it seems like this is a catch-all, but I think when you disaggregate the stuff, there's some very specific things that are happening within the Great Resignation.
I take your point on that. Lots of nuances within it. And the one that jumped out as you were talking there is someone taking early retirement, and maybe you retire at 60 instead of 65, and you think to yourself, it's only 5 years. But over your lifetime of saving for retirement, those last 5 years have real impact. I mean, they are significant.
Probably the most valuable 5 years, right? We all know that if people can defer the retirement by X number of years, your pot, which is at its probably at its largest point at the age of 60, if you can continue to grow that pot for the next 5 years, you're compounding on a huge amount of cash that you're sitting on, or the largest amount of cash that you're sitting on. And as long as you don't have a big drawdown, it could be very effective. And the thing that I worry about most when I think about the Great Resignation is the fact that many people that have opted out and reconsidering their work arrangements for leaving formal employment and then deciding to contract and work either in the gig economy, technology, people doing contract work for all sorts of stuff. What are they doing with their pension fund arrangements? How are they solving for their pension fund arrangements? Because they're not in the formal employment. So what's happening to all of those people? And often the only thing that they think about, what most people think about, is how much net pay am I taking home? How much money am I making? Enough money just to get by and live comfortably and enjoy the one holiday and not factoring in, I still need to get an RA, I still need to save for retirement, because I am going to get to some point in my life when I'm going to stop working. That's a huge factor, I think.
That is a great point. I mean, there are a lot of people. I mean, it's something which sort of I've done over the last decade. I've worked for myself. I've worked for multiple different contracts and the like. And I've always had to, therefore, manage my own retirement plans. Whereas if I had a formal job at a corporate, of course, that's just money that goes off my paycheck every month. Now suddenly I've actually got to go and find my own retirement and ask the questions around, you know, what's the costs? What's the benefits and the like, and that's a, you know, no disrespect to myself and others, it's a challenging conversation.
100%, Simon, and it's a challenging conversation with yourself, because you've got to have a discipline to actually start doing something. So it's easier not to do something than to start doing something, and I think that's the challenge when people start kind of opting out of formal work arrangements, because in the previous arrangement, you basically outsource your retirement to your employer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm using very strong language, but I think that is the case for most people, is they outsource the retirement responsibility to the employer, someone else taking care of it. I'm going to get to 55 and then retirement benefit counseling will start. And then I'll start thinking that I need a guaranteed annuity or living annuity. And then that process starts me much later. But if you opt out of formal employment at the age of 30, and you're seeing lots of young people doing that, deciding to, they're working in technology, they're working for some company in the UK or the States or Australia and in design or whatever they're doing. What are they doing? How are they thinking about it? And they're young. And that's the time that you should start saving. Because it's the benefits of starting young, we all know that as well.
Yeah,
I don't think you need to reiterate that on the show. Because those things are real, real, real concerns for us, you know?
And I like the phrase you have there. We do, and I've done it when I've worked for corporates. I outsourced my retirement to them. I signed an offer, and they just sort of did it for me, and I didn't have to worry about it. And if you work for yourself, you need to worry about it. We'll leave it there. Salim Sunday, Head of Group Savings at Allan Gray. Appreciate the early morning insights.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So the Monetary Policy Committee raised rates, prime rate by, well, repo, and then prime by 0.75 yesterday. The vote was 3-2, with one person voting for 1% and one for 0.5%, the rest going for the 75 points. This now makes prime 9%. November last year was when it started to rise, and we were sitting at 7% in November. That 2% extra that we now up, what, in 6-7 months since then, on a million-rand home loan, that's about 1,250 rand a month more. That's huge. It's 15,000 rand a year. And here's what's probably the really bad news. I don't think rates are going down anytime soon. I mentioned in my intro, the governor is saying we're going to get, you know, really fight this inflation. If we go back to pre-pandemic, January 2020, prime was 9.75%. And we're still below that. And the governor has said he wants to get back to normal rates, i.e. pre-pandemic. Two more MPC meetings this year, September and November. Will we hit 9.75% by the end of the year? I think so. I mean, the question is, maybe we even get to 10% by the end of the year, which adds yet another 600 rand onto the cost of that home loan. It is becoming expensive. Or maybe the other way is that during the pandemic, home loans were incredibly cheap. Maybe they are, as the governor says, kind of normalizing that process and getting the rates back to normal. The key point, I think, if you've got a bond, if you're paying a home loan, is that don't expect this lower, and you got to work your budget. You got to figure the extra space, and even from this one, some more extra space going forward. Can you afford those extra payments? If you're struggling, if it looks bleak out there, talk to your bank and talk to them ASAP. Go to them and say, hey, this is not easy. This is not fun. What can we do? The banks don't want defaults. They would rather engage you and come with some options. But it's tough. It's a lot of money, and it's not going away anytime soon. And that's our question out there on our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. That extra $12.50 a month. I mean, are you managing your payments? Perhaps you don't have a bond, you've paid off. Perhaps you're a renter. Or maybe you saw this coming. I've spoken about this earlier in the year, and perhaps you had accommodated for it. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. I was chatting with Tertia Jacobs from Investec yesterday about the inflation data from Wednesday, 7.4%, and the Reserve Bank MPC meeting and that decision. And we asked you what you expected. Just over half of you said 0.5%. That was the consensus. That is what I expected. That is what one member voted for. But a third of you said, nope, it's going to be 0.75%. And that was what it ended up. A small percent said, no, it'll be 0.25%. And that would have been nice. But the governor is going aggressive on inflation. Twitter, LinkedIn, have your vote, have your say. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchlet, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. We're talking currency timing versus opportunity cost of not investing at all.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.